إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن نبينا وحبيبنا وقائدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله بالغمة وتركنا على المحاجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. وبعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة في دين الله بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، اللهم أجرنا من النار. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, I begin with the greeting of Islam. May the peace and the blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon you. I continue by testifying that none is worthy of worship except Allah. And I continue my testimony by declaring and proclaiming that the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Muhammad, is indeed the messenger and the final messenger and the servant of Allah. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever is allowed to go astray due to their own wrongful actions, sinful desires and inclinations, none can guide back except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and my sisters, we are grateful for everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. We are grateful for the challenges as much as we are grateful for what we perceive to be blessings. And perhaps within blessings there are challenges, and perhaps within challenges there is a door that will open up towards many, many blessings. And so the Muslim is always grateful and always appreciative and always accepting of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And part of that is to accept that we are in challenging times, and the Ummah has constantly gone through challenging times. But it's important also to be ready to step up to the plate and to do the best that we can to minimize the harm, to control the damage, and to do the best that we can to leave a legacy in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the sake of the generations that are to come. My brothers and my sisters, one of the things that we miss these days, and of course we still see it in small doses, but one of the things that we miss as Muslims because of our distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way that we deal with one another in a manner that the Salaf and the previous predecessors used to celebrate and used to endorse. Our relationships with one another, for many, many people, not all, and there will be good in the Ummah till Yawm al-Din, but for many people has become artificial, has become very self-centered, self-based. If it helps me, I'll do it. If it doesn't, who cares? And the reason why I'm saying this, subhanAllah, is because just a few nights ago we had a halaqah here, and we were talking about the importance of parents in Islam. And I was mentioning, just to get the kids engaged, does anyone here have an example of something that you have done or something that someone else has done that you don't think was the best to do to your parents? And one of the kids, may Allah bless him, and he's still very young, and we had a beautiful conversation afterwards. But he said, subhanAllah, he said, whenever my mom tells me to put my laptop down or my iPad down and come and help her with something, I say no. And I don't want to do it. And I value my iPad better than I value my parents. Word by word. So I was shocked. And you have the audacity to say that. May Allah bless you. At least you're honest. And may Allah guide you and guide all of us. But it was a little bit shocking to hear. And then I mentioned to him, can you imagine if your parents did that with you? Imagine if when you were young, as an infant, and you were crying, asking for attention, and your parents said, you know what? Who cares? How do you think that would make sense? And his response was, you're entitled to your opinion, and I'm entitled to mine. A young child. Allahu Akbar. And of course, this doesn't represent and reflect everyone. And of course, the child doesn't intend it. May Allah bless him again. And I'm not broadcasting this or discussing it, you know, to belittle the child. Of course, may Allah give him Jannah al-Firdaws and guide him And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us, Ya Rabbi, Ameen. But I'm just mentioning this, subhanAllah, because this is unfortunately what our children are hearing. That doesn't, you don't have to agree with this guy that's standing on the mimbar. You don't have to agree with the traditions and these stories. These are just opinions. Right? You have your own mind, your own capacity to think, your own capacity to articulate. You create your own destiny. You create your own path. And of course, Islam allows for freedom. Islam allows for freedom to choose and to select. But there are certain principles that are set in stone that we can never compromise. And among those principles are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated within the Quran and within the Sunnah in the way that we deal with one another. And so this khutbah is dedicated as a reminder to all of us as parents and children, as grandparents and as grandchildren, to remember the importance of our parents. And I know that the majority of us who are sitting here are adults. But if we're not going to model the best of behavior towards our own parents, how do we expect our own children to model that kind of behavior towards us? And if we're too busy now in the midst of life to actually care and to reach out to our parents, are we not depriving our own children of a practical implementation of the divine revelation and the seerah and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad? And how do we expect our children to connect with stories and examples and stuff that is mentioned in books if we ourselves don't live those examples? My brothers and my sisters, if you look at the Quran, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's speaking to his father, the way he approaches his father and the way that he addresses his father, he says, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, Ya Abati, three times in a row. And what is the response? He's calling his father towards good. What does his father say? Get out of here. أَرَغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَةِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Are you turning away from my tradition? From the ancestors' tradition? From our gods, from my deities? How dare you challenge that? Right? So there are certain components of tradition that of course that are inherited culturally that need to be challenged. But look at the way Ibrahim is doing it. With respect. And his father is not listening. He pushes him away. What is the response? سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. Peace be upon you, my father. I shall ask Allah for forgiveness. And this is an example of a confrontation in the Quran. But look at the way that the son responds with respect, compassion, and finishes with dua. My brothers and my sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coupled obedience to him with obedience towards our parents. Respecting him towards respect to our parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. A man comes to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, young in age, says, Ya Rasulullah, I have come to join you on this journey of jihad. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ doesn't tell him, what are your experiences? What swords have you brought? Come forward. He says, do you have parents that are still alive? He says, yes. Because he was young. So he tells him, go back and take care of them. That is your jihad. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ gives him that alternative and tells him, go take care of your parents. That becomes your jihad. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, my brothers and my sisters, when he was asked by another companion, Ya Rasulullah, tells me who deserves the best of my companionship, which has two meanings. Who deserves most of my time? And who deserves when I give them the time to give them the best of the time? And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says, in the famous hadith we all know, but وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He says, your parents, but specifically your mother, and then your father. So imagine every time they heard the companion, he said, who next? Your mother. Who next? Your mother. Who next? Your mother. And then who? And then your father. And then who? Then your own children, and then your grandchildren, as the addition of the hadith. My brothers and my sisters, remember the story of Ibn Mas'ud. When he comes, his mother asks him, can you give me some water? And back then, water wasn't available in fountains like it is now. So he had to go to the well. he had to dig, or he had to get some water, use the bucket to get some water, and then sometimes they would actually heat it up to purify and then cool it down. By the time he brought the water back, his mother was already sleeping. So Ibn Mas'ud did not want to wake up his mother. He stayed by her bedside, giving her enough space to sleep. He didn't want her to wake up and not find him there. And he didn't want to interrupt her sleep. So he stood by her bedside, waiting for her to wake up. Now if this sounds far-fetched, and if this sounds out of reach, why shouldn't when her own parents used to spend nights giving up sleep because we have a fever, giving up nights of sleep because we're crying, giving up nights of sleep to attend to our needs? Why is it all weird now when we hear about a man who decides to stand next to his mother's bed, giving her enough privacy but within reach to be able to hear her? Why are these stories so far-fetched now? Why are they so hard to believe? Why have they become part of an imagination? Something that's, yeah, it's possible, but we don't see it anymore. Why don't we see that anymore? Why isn't that part of our legacy, part of our lived reality? Right? And what is the implication of that distance in imagination on our own children as they're growing up? And sufficient, my brothers and my sisters, is the long story of Uwais al-Qarni, in which the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, a man will enter the doors of the masjid and his dua is accepted. And if he asks Allah for anything, Allah would give it to him. And of course the companions are excited. We want to know what's his secret. So they go and they live with him for a while. One of the companions stays with him to realize his secret. And his secret was that every time he would go to sleep, he would forgive everyone. Then the companions came to the Prophet, said, Ya Rasulullah, give us another example of someone that is not known to people. No one knows about him. But to Allah, he is elevated that if he were to ask Allah for anything, he would give it to him. Give us another example. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ tells them, there is a man in the tribe of Qarn, in the nation or in the country, in the region of Yemen. And this is someone that is not known to people, but to Allah, elevated and beloved. And if he were to ask Allah for anything, Allah would give it to him. So Ya Rasulullah, tell us, what is his secret? He responds, when he became a Muslim, he heard about the Prophet, became a Muslim, Allahumma salli wa sallam baraka ala Muhammad, but he chose to stay with his mother because she was sick. She was ill. He chose to stay with his mother and not travel to attain the pleasure of being in the Prophet's companionship. Can you imagine? He gave up companionship. He gave up the title of Sahabi to be there by his mother's side and take care of her. And the consensus of the scholars is that being there for your parents is greater than jihad, greater than seeking knowledge, greater than many of the nawafil, and probably the greatest and most important fard after everything to do with Allah. The greatest and the most important fard after everything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning after the salah immediately. Can you imagine? And this companion, he lived this, well, he wasn't a companion, but he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallam. Uwais al-Qarni could have been a companion. This individual lived all the way with his mother until the Prophet Muhammad sallam passed away. And then he stayed with his mother until Abu Bakr passed away. And he stayed with his mother halfway through Umar's khilafah. And finally, when Umar went to Hajj midway through his khilafah, he made an announcement looking for this man. And every year before that, the Khulafa were making announcements in Hajj looking for him. Because the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, if you meet him, ask him to make dua for you, because by Allah his dua is accepted. So imagine Umar is making the announcement, is there a man amongst you from the family of Qarn? Yes, there is. Is there a man amongst you named Uwais? Yes, there is. Come forward. Umar cannot control himself. He starts crying. Comes and hugs him and tells him, make dua for me. Uwais says, أَوَ مِثْلِي يَدْعُوا لِمِثْلِكَ. Can someone like me make dua for someone like you? You are Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers. You're responsible for Islam spreading to all these different parts of the world. Someone like me is going to make dua for someone like you? He had no idea how close he was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his dutifulness towards his parents, specifically his mother. My brothers and my sister, we have a narration about one of the Sahabas. And there's a disagreement about whether it's Abu Hurairah or Abu Dharr and others. Allah knows best. But one day, his mother calls him. And he rushes towards her and he says, Labbaik ya Ummah. You know, when we go to Hajj, we say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Here I am fully in heart, in mind, in ears, in attention, completely. Ya Allah. That's how he responded to his mother. But he responded a little too soft the first time. So she didn't hear him. She didn't hear him. So she called out for him again. So he raised his voice. She didn't hear him. So she called out for him again. So he had to raise his voice really loud so she could hear him. So when he raised his voice, finally she heard him. But after reflecting, he realized that his voice might have been a little bit too loud. And it might have caused a little bit of discomfort or may have been perceived as disrespect by his mother. So he apologized and he went and set two slaves free. He emancipated two slaves to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. My brothers and my sisters, when the ayah was recited in the presence of Ibn Abbas, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So the companions asked, what does it mean to have ihsan, excellence towards the parents? He responded, that door is too vast for me to describe to you. It's too vast to put it in words. So they said, then give us an example of the opposite. If it's too vast to discuss what it means to be excellent towards parents, give us an example of what it means to be not excellent towards the parents. Give us an example of ruquq, disrespect or negligence towards the parents. And he responded and he said, imagine if someone is sitting down and the parents are next to this individual and there's a little bit of dust on your thobe, on your clothes. So you get up and you start moving your thobe around to clear that dust, to get that dust off. And the wind happens to pick that dust in the direction of your parents, that is considered uquq. That's what Ibn Abbas, who's considered to be one of the greatest authorities on the Quran, considered uquq. Meaning that wherever you're sitting, however you're sitting, you should be cognizant and aware of all the variables around you that may aren't intentionally hurt your parents. Whether it's the wind, like if you're sitting down and there's dust, you should be thinking, wait, the direction of the wind. Where's the direction of the wind going? So if I get up and start wiping the dust, is it going to flow towards the parent? That's the level of focus and attention you should be to the details around you in terms of impacting your parents. Now my brothers and my sisters, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he mentions a companion by name. And this is an example of a companion that Allah accepted among those who are most beautiful towards their parents. Al-Harith ibn al-Nu'man. And when the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, why? And they heard later that Al-Harith, and listen to this carefully, Al-Harith used to sit with his mother, he used to comb her hair, he used to wash her hair for her, he used to braid her hair, and he used to massage her feet. This is at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet attested, vouched for his character with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, what is really interesting about Haritha is that when his mother became old to the point where she could not articulate herself anymore, she couldn't articulate herself anymore. She was mumbling and sometimes you couldn't make out the words. So what Al-Haritha would do is he would come very close to his mother, sit down and pay full attention, reading her lips fully. And he would listen very, very closely because he didn't want to ask her to repeat herself. And Imam al-Shafi'i says, and this is an example of how far a son or a daughter can go to make his or her mom comfortable and not make them feel like they're a former shadow of themselves. As people grow older, they will lose much of the functionality. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبِّي. You will see your own parents lose memories. You will see your own parents lose basic movement and motion.
You will see your own parents, subhanAllah, sometimes having to depend on you to use the bathroom and to shower. That's the time which you what? You embrace what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you embrace it as an opportunity to give back, not an opportunity to forget the years that they've invested in you and then put them towards someone else and say it's someone else's responsibility. One of the tabi'een, Imam Malik, highlights the story and he says, listen to this carefully, he says, there's a young man, he heard that his father, his father, and his father's father's father, they had a history of dementia. So they had a history of forgetting things. So this young boy, he realized, maybe my father's gonna grow to an age where my father's gonna forget things. So he decided to sit down and hear all of his father's stories and all of his father's names, like the stories that he keeps repeating and the names of the family members and the uncles and the aunts. And he wrote all of them down because one day his father might look at him and be like, I'm trying to remember that name, but I can't. So he would give him that name to help him and to aid him in that memory. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going that extent, subhanAllah? And if these things seem a little bit far-fetched, here's an authentic narration that was witnessed by hundreds. It was witnessed in the masjid that is now Al-Masjid Al-Jami' Al-Azhar in Egypt. At the time of Ibn Shuraih, who was what? He was the judge, the greatest of imams in Egypt at the time. His house was attached to the masjid. His house was attached to the masjid. His mother was living with him. One day he's in the halaqah. Thousands of students are sitting down. They're taking notes. They're listening. And one day in the middle of the halaqah, Ibn Shuraih, his mother, yells out. In the middle of the halaqah, she yells out and she says, go feed the chickens, go feed the chickens. So Ibn Shuraih closes the book that he's explaining from, gets up and he says, there are many of me that can teach this lesson, but there's only one of me for my mother. And he gets up and he goes and he sits with her, with his mother, and he calms her down. And subhanAllah, what's really interesting is he doesn't even mention to her that they had moved from the house where there were chickens. Excuse me, I just twisted my shoulder, subhanAllah. That they had moved from the house where there were chickens many, many years ago. He didn't mention that to her. And he didn't remind her that she was actually going through dementia. He didn't mention that to her, subhanAllah. He just continued carrying on, subhanAllah, so that he wouldn't make her feel like a former shadow of herself. And imagine nowadays, my brothers and my sisters, subhanAllah, how many of us are disrespectful towards our parents? How many people come to my office and say, Shaykh, I can't get along with my mother. I can't understand my mother. My mother is this, my mother is that. And we forget that the same skills that are required to deal with our parents and to win over our parents and to gain our parents' trust and love are the same skills that you require in your own relationships and in your success in every aspect of your life. My brothers and my sisters, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says two things are not going to be punished just in the Akhirah. Two things are going to be punished in the dunya before the Akhirah. One, injustice and oppression towards other people, and the other is disrespect towards the parents. And he mentions that the one who's looking to have elongation in his or her wealth and elongation in his or her life should go and seek that through the gift of their mother and their father. And my brother and my sister, we have other narrations, and narrations are many. Once, one of the tabi'een and his father are jailed unjustly. And so the son would every night take water, and he would take the fire, wood fire. He would put some fire and then heat the water so that his father can make wudu with hot water. One night, the people who are in charge, the guards, decided not to give them wood fire. It was a liability. So So they didn't give them wood fire. So what he did is he took the cup of water, and there was a lamp, right? There was a torch. It was made out of fire, right? It was a torch. He took the water and he put it next to the torch for hours until it was warm enough to be able to give to his father. And he did this consistently for a few nights in a row, to the point where the guards were looking at each other and they're saying, why are these people jailed again? They're jailed for what reason? These are not people that we would believe would do the things that they're being accused of. Look at the way that he is towards his father, and look at the way that his father is towards him. My brothers and my sisters, it is essential and it's important and it's really, really, subhanAllah, detrimental. These things that we're talking about, they're really important. If we don't give our parents the rights that they deserve, and if we don't model that kind of behavior, wallahi, we should not expect our children to do the same. So my question then, and your question then, is what do we do? These khutbas, my brothers and my sisters in Islam, they're not designed to make us cry, to make us feel sad, to make us feel unhappy for a little bit, to make us feel guilty, and then we go out of these doors and go back to our old ways. These khutbas are designed to make change, to change your actions. And so my brothers and my sisters, some takeaway steps. Number one, if your parents are alive, go to them. Invest in them. Be kind to them. Be there for them in every aspect. Be there for them financially. Be there for them through gifts. Be there for them through kind words. Surprise them with a visit. Fly out to see them. Drive out to see them. Call them once in a while. Abu Huraira used to start his day by going and visiting his mother. Say, Mom, make dua for me. Here's what I'm doing today. Make dua for me. If you have a father and he's alive, consult him. Consult him. Take his advice. Do istishara with him before you make a major decision. Make your parents feel like they are a part of your life. Wallahi, till this day, one of my teachers, one of the biggest advice he gave me, he said, one day, you're going to be what? You're going to be independent and you're going to be capable, and you may even be better than your own parents in certain aspects of your life. Don't ever let that get you to think what? That you don't need them. Until this day, wallah, I call my father and I ask him about Islamic questions and I ask him about, you know, Quranic questions. Sometimes even though I know the answer, even though I can get it from another source, even though I have the book, I will call him what? So that he can feel like he's still a part of my life. And wallahi, those things matter more towards him than anything else. So understand what works for your mom and dad. If gifts are their love language, give them gifts. My own father, he could not care less about gifts. He does not like gifts at all. Not material. For him, it's more about respect, respecting his advice, respecting his presence. So understand your parents, understand what works, understand what doesn't, get to know them. You know what Imam Malik, he mentions, that you are good towards your parents when you can know what they're asking for without them having to verbalize it. You will know what they're thinking about, what they want, without them having to verbalize it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. You know how, this is beautiful, how beautiful this is? Imagine one day you become like a bird. You can fly, you can soar away. You're independent, you don't need your parents anymore. Allah says, when you reach that point, lower the wing of humility out of mercy for them. Yes, you're independent, you can fly away, you can soar away. Lower the wing of humility out of mercy for them. And if they have passed away, make dua for them. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Make dua for them. Invest on their behalf. Build sadaqah jaris on their behalf. And not only that, there's a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallam. He says, the highest of birr is for a man or a woman to be dutiful towards the people that his or her parents cared about. So if your parents have passed away, look at the will that they've left behind and implemented. Look at the things they cared about for and invest in them. And look at the people that they love and invest in them. Right? And subhanAllah, I'll finish with this, my brothers and my sisters. You see people saying, Shaykh, I want to build a sadaqah jariyah on behalf of my father. I want to build a well on behalf of my father. Here's $20,000. Great, good for you. But that same individual, he will have his brother and his sister, and he's not speaking to them at all. He wants to build a well, or she wants to build a well, but doesn't want to invest in rectifying their relationship with his brother and sister. And I ask you this, do you think your parents, if they were alive and they were to see the way you are amongst each other, do you think that would cause them pain? If the answer is yes, then fix it. So part of your birr towards your parents after their death is to look at anything that would have caused them pain and to fix it. And anything that would cause them pleasure and to do it. And to do it. And bringing the family together, wallahi, is one of the best ways to honor your parents who have passed on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us better towards our parents, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our children better towards us. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لكم ولسائر المسلمين. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا مهتدين. اللهم بارك لنا وفينا وعلينا واجعلنا مباركين. اللهم اقبلنا وتقبل منا واجعلنا مقبولين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومؤلها يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا واغفر لأولادنا واغفر لشبابنا وبناتنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهد شبابنا ونساءنا ورجالنا واغفر لوالدينا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم انصر المسلمين والمسلمات والمستضعفين والمستضعفات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات. اللهم كن لهم عونا يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصرهم على من عاداهم وثبتهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم ثبتنا عند الممات وعند السؤال وعند الحساب. اللهم ثبتنا يا رب واجعل آخر كلامنا في الدنيا لا إله إلا الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله. وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتاب مقوتا.